on thumbs up. Thumbs up. Praise the Lord. In the back. Thumbs up. Praise the Lord. Left to right. Thumbs up. Left to right to back. Thumbs up. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, please, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. I would encourage you all to, right here, close that up right there. To pray without ceasing while I preach. As we go in a different direction tonight than what I was planning. As I preach in your hearing by the grace of God, the greatest soldier of all time, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 928, bus continues to roll. Since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1,288 since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to three different places. Matthew 26:67, Isaiah 53, verse 5, and St. John 15:13. The old school saints, they knew how to do that. Some of you young folks don't know how to hold three passages at one time. But then again, you don't even have a paper Bible to do that with, so you can probably hit a little yellow check. Be that as it may, the greatest soldier of all time, Matthew 26:67, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him, talking about Jesus Christ, with the palms of their hands. In other words, they slapped him. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this. There is no greater love. It is impossible to have any greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so tonight we thank God for the veterans. I thank God that I am a veteran, and I want to say for the 4 years I gave to this country, trust me when I tell you, they have paid me back 1,000-fold, this country and this government. And I thank God. And I know some of you may not feel the same way, but I thank God I was born free in America. And I count it an honor to be a veteran, U.S. Air Force. Where one of the mottos is never leave an airman behind. Another motto of the Marines is Semper Fidelis. Semper Fi. Always faithful. Always loyal. Always true. Thank God for all of the veterans of this country, some who put in far more time than I have, and they deserve everything they get, and you make sure they get it. And you pray for our veterans. You pray for our veterans across this country, because some are not faring well, and they need your prayers. I'm told that the veterans across this country who kill themselves every day, they commit suicide. I am told that thousands of veterans are homeless. And so pray for the veterans. But I want to talk to you tonight, including the veterans, about the greatest veteran of all time. The greatest soldier of all time, his name is Jesus Christ. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this past day. And Holy Father God in heaven, we thank you for all of our days. For some started out when we did, and they're not here today. Some soldiers were young and energetic and smart and bright, and many are dead, lying in a cold grave, still young. Wives and children left behind. They died for this wicked, evil nation. We're not worthy of their death. And then some, Lord, who left home young, energetic, smart, and bright, they didn't die, but they got injured very badly. And quite honestly, Lord, is almost like for some a walking death. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort the families that have been impacted by death and injury all across this country and around the globe. We don't see them out and about in the malls because they can't get out and about as they used to. Comfort the wives, comfort the children, comfort the mothers and the fathers. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them and help them all to turn their eyes upon Jesus and to get to know you as Savior, because you're the only one that on a daily basis can get them through it. Comfort them as only you can. And Holy Father God, have mercy and grace, Lord, upon us in America. Forgive us of our sins, of not looking after our veterans and taking care of them and respecting them as we should. One day is not enough. For in a sense, Lord, they resemble what you did for us, all of us, including the veterans. They don't come close at all, but they're in the same line, sacrificing their freedom and their lives for the freedom and lives of others. But you're the greatest soldier of all time. You're the captain of our faith. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. You laid down your life. You literally laid down your life because they couldn't take it. You laid down your life for your friends because you love us and because our Heavenly Father loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Thank you for your pain and suffering and the shedding of your blood for our sins. And Lord, we found out last night that it was not really Andre Crouch who came up with the idea of the blood shall never lose its power. He got that idea from somebody else. And we heard about her on last evening. And Cecilia, I believe her name is, or Sevilla, something along those lines. But whoever came up with it, whoever got the idea from you, we know tonight that your holy and precious blood will never lose its power. You died for all of us so that we can go free. You died for our sins. You were buried, and you rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning, for veterans and for those and for civilians, all of us, red, yellow, black, and white, and even brown, for we're all precious in your sight. And so tonight, Lord, we pray that you'll have mercy and grace upon us as Christians, even as believers. For the truth of the matter is, Lord, as you know better than we do and better than I do, so many of us are a mess in the church. We're not enduring hardness as good soldiers at all. We are caught up in pleasure and doing what we want in our and what we think is right in our own sight. Forgive us, Lord God in heaven, of our sins. Lord, and help the Christians who are on the margins, on the periphery, who used to be white hot with faith in you. Lord, reclaim the backslidden. Help us all to confess our sins. Help us to be honest about our sins. Help us to be transparent, at least with you, because you already know all about it. And help us to repent and quit it. Repent and quit it. Turn away from it, whatever it is, and help us to get back to you, our first love, and then back on the firing line for you, Lord Jesus, the captain of our faith. For many of us are not good soldiers at all. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost, in spite of us, but because of you. Open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears and save their souls. And Lord, those soldiers who are injured and who are limping and may have lost an arm in the spiritual realm, but they're still kicking, they're still fighting, they're bloody but unbowed. Lord, help them. Give them your grace and your strength and your anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to keep on fighting and holding up the bloodstained banner. Thank you, Lord, for being the captain of our faith and the greatest example of all time as the greatest soldier, the greatest veteran of all time. And Lord, we pray that in the end, Lord, millions will hear the gospel in these last days and come to know you as Savior before it is eternally too late. Because one day we know that we're going to hear that trumpet sound, and Lord, is going to be a blessing for those who are ready. Soldiers of the cross, in Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Lord, cast out the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, and the enemies, and Sanballat, from this place, and from the hearts and minds of people all around the globe. And there are some people who know what I'm talking about, and there are some who don't. I don't have time to explain it, but Lord, you know all about it. Please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his host from this short time together, and save that soul that is nearest hell. Reclaim the backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. The greatest soldier of all time, none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Even the Christian veterans on their Veterans Day celebration, which I'm enjoying myself, they will not mind me saying that he's the greatest soldier of all time. He's the greatest captain of all time, the captain of our faith. Matthew 26:67, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him and others, smote him with the palms of their hands. They slapped him very disrespectfully, the King of Kings. They didn't know it. The Lord of Lords, the God who created them, they slapped him. And they spit on him. They couldn't just kill him. They couldn't just crucify him. They had to humiliate him before the world. The devil drove them to do it. But he took it. As the old saints used to say, he didn't say a mumbling word. Isaiah 53:5. Not only are these words most powerful, but they're most eloquent as well. Only God can write something like this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The greatest of all time, the greatest of all time, the goat is the lamb. Goat means, in our sports world, the greatest of all time. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the goat is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who took away the sins of the world, yours and mine. All you have to do is trust him as your Savior, be you a veteran or a civilian. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When you think about it, really, truly, there's no greater love now, because you're giving up your life for somebody else who's not even worth it because of their sins. They're just as sinful. So when the veterans die for us, knowing that we're really not worth it, and we really don't appreciate what they have done, we're just as sinful as they are. That's love for you. But when the greatest soldier of all time gives up his life, I said he gave it up because they couldn't take it from him. He laid it down for wicked, evil, ungodly sinners who in real time were slapping him and spitting on him. It wasn't enough for them, these demoniacs, to crucify him and to stab him in his gut with a spear. They had to humiliate him and mock him and spit on him. Now, thanks be to God thanks be to God, I've never had anybody to spit on me. Because I probably would not be here today. It's one thing if you hit me. One thing if you slap me. You try to run me over with your car. You try to shoot me. We can roll with that. I can deal with that. But spitting on me? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I know I can't lay it down, but as the old folks used to say, sitting on the porch in James City. Now, see that right there make me lay my religion down on you. I just had to lay it aside for a minute and just go ahead and go off on you. If you spit on me, that's what they did. It's not enough. Not enough to crucify the man. He was already beaten beyond recognition. You got to spit on him? You're gambling for his garment. A fake crown of thorns. Pressing it down on his head so he'll bleed some more. Mocking him as the king of the Jews, when in reality he was, and the king of you too. The greatest of all time. I came across something. Didn't have a name attached to it. At Track Planet regarding veterans. And I thought it was beautiful. Many Americans failed to acknowledge you when you came home from the war, especially Vietnam and other wars as well. Or worse, they heckled you, and some even spit on you. You had already been through enough. You've seen more in a few short months and years than most people in 10 lifetimes. You have seen things that you no human should have seen. You've seen your comrades fall right beside you with their brains blown out. You've seen your fellow soldiers with bullet holes in their bodies where you can almost see through. You've seen little children shot, collateral damage, they call it, and killed. Our ignorance was salt in the wound. It is a blemish, and beyond a blemish, on American history, and an ache in our hearts. And probably, no doubt, more than that in your heart. Please forgive us. You were willing to pay the price for our freedom. You may still be suffering for it. In other words, you may still be paying the price. And we don't know anything about it. We think we do, but we don't. There is someone who knows exactly what you went through. He knows what it's like to serve others, to try to help others, to try to get them free and then be rejected by them. to be abandoned even by friends and family. For even his followers, not all, but his main followers forsook him, deserted him. At the most important time of his career, he was mocked, spat upon, whipped, beaten beyond recognition, and finally crucified. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to bring freedom from sin, which causes death and which causes hell. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He made the ultimate sacrifice, and he was rejected, despised, hated by those who created him, when all they saw him do is walk on the water, raise a man from the dead, gave blind people their sight, healed the sick, and many other miracles. He never did anybody wrong, never. No bills unpaid. When they asked him for his taxes, he told his disciple to go down to the creek and get my money to pay my taxes. Jesus paid taxes on property that he created, and he owned all of it. The greatest soldier of all time. He was hated by those he created. His name is Jesus. Matthew 26:67 says, "Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands." Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." That's our sins, your sins and mine. I want you to understand this. And that's why I'm repeating it. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his wounds, his stripes, we are healed from the sin problem that causes death and that causes hell. Now, here's love for you. Is there anybody that you would die for? Most of you good fellows out there who have good wives, you'll say, "Man, I'll die for her any day." And there's some of you husbands out there who don't have good wives. You can't make your mouth say that, and you know you'd be lying. But if you have children, all of you men out there, you'll die for your children. You'll die for your children. You would rather see yourself die than your child to die. That's love for you. God's love was greater, of course. Jesus' love is greater because he died for people who hated him, who were committing sins and crimes against him, who despised him. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus Christ laid his life down for you and for me. Now that's love for you. You can do whatever you want to do, but you better believe on him and trust him as Savior. Jesus Christ is the ultimate soldier. He is the goat who is the lamb. He is the ultimate soldier in the battle against an unseen, ugly, deceptive enemy that seeks to destroy souls and condemn people to a burning hell forever and ever. I like what David Platt said today. I don't agree with everything he has said, but I like what he said. He said, we need to tell folk the truth and stop telling folk a one-sided gospel. They need to hear the other side as well. Both sides. They need to understand, yes, God loves you. Yes, Jesus Christ was sent to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. But if you don't trust him as your Savior and you don't receive him as your Savior, that same God will cast you into hell. And that's what he said. And everybody needs to hear that. But the devil, our enemy, God's enemy, Jesus' enemy, is seeking to destroy us and to condemn us to hell with him. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means he has heat-seeking missiles to blow you to pieces. Okay, he's not playing with you. You know there's an invisible enemy somewhere. Somebody is hassling you, man. Somebody's bothering you. Somebody's trying to trip you up and to destroy you. And the more and the closer you get to God, the more he's going to do that and try that. He will attack your family. He will attack your wife. He will attack your children. He is ruthless. And the closer he sees you getting to God, the more he's going to seek to devour you and blow you to pieces and send all kinds of missiles your way. The Bible calls them fiery darts. They're designed to blow your life up. So don't be devoured by the devil, not by your past, not by the present, including I'm talking to primarily my veteran brethren tonight, but everybody. Someone said a long time ago, don't let your past define your now and your future. Don't let your past define your present and your future. Don't let the devil control you like that and define you like that. Oftentimes, people are living lives of desperation, basically being defined by the devil of what he wants you to be. And he's constantly accusing you and working on your head and on your mind to make you be that, even though you're not that, or you should not be that, and you know it. And so many people get stuck in what the devil has defined you to be to the point they let that carry them to their grave, and sometimes an early grave. Don't be devoured, not by the past, not by the present, not by any scheme of Satan, the devil, our enemy. For you are cherished. You are a cherished creation by God. God loves you so much, he sent his only son. And that's another thing, too, about this dying for people. See, it's one thing for me to die for you, but I'm not going to send my son to die for you. I'm not going to send my daughter to die. No. No, 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 to the no. 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 It's one thing for me to die for you, but I'm not going to send one of my children to die for you. But that's what God did. And God had to watch this tragedy of all of the sin of the world roll down upon him, and the devil thinking he destroyed the Son of God. But he was surprised 3 days later, early one Sunday morning, Jesus rose up from the grave with the keys. I'm still here. So you are cherished. You are a cherished creation. I don't care how you feel about yourself. You probably feel bad about yourself. You probably feel guilty. That's understandable because you are. Okay? It's okay. You're not going to feel great about yourself. Don't follow all these lying gurus trying to make you feel all great about yourself when you know you're not great. You know you're not great. You know that you're not good. You know that you got some evil in you. No matter how pretty you are, no matter how handsome you think you are, you got some ugliness in you, and you know it. And God knows it as well. And the devil knows it, and the devil tries to use it against you. So come to the Creator. Come back home, dear veteran friend, dear civilian friend. Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, brown, you're precious in God's sight. Come to the Creator with your burden of guilt, your anger, your disappointment with life, unforgiveness in your heart, or any sin that has taken you captive by the devil. Come to the Creator. Come back home to God who created you. And not only created you, but redeemed you through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you would trust him. God can forgive your lying. God can forgive your stealing. God can forgive your lust and any other sins you have committed. Seek Jesus. God can forgive your adultery. God can forgive your fornication, having sex with people you're not married to, having sex while married with other people you're not married to, having sex with somebody else's spouse. God will forgive you. God will forgive you for cheating on your taxes, for stealing from the government. God will forgive you of your bad attitude and your hate and your racism and your prejudice, and so forth. God will forgive you of taking his name in vain. God will forgive you for dishonoring and disrespecting your parents with a bitter hatred. Seek Jesus' forgiveness. Seek God's forgiveness and be set free tonight. Be you a veteran or a civilian, Jesus rose from the grave. That's what it's all about, dear friend. Your life is never going to be what you want it to be. You can go to the bookstore, the few that are left open, and find great how-to books all you want to make your life better. It will not help you without Jesus Christ. He must be the foundation. He is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you have God with you, you have somebody with you, dear friend. Jesus rose from the grave. He died for you, was buried, and rose from the grave. And all you have to do is believe in him. Believe on him. He can give you new life tonight. He'll do it. If he did it for me 40 years ago, he'll do it for you. In fact, I got saved in the United States Air Force. So the Air Force has been good to me, but better than that, God has been good to me. In fact, God set it up for me to go into the Air Force. And there are many, many of my veteran friends got saved in the military. Had to get away from the house, get away from mom and them, and get out into the world. And God led them to his son, Jesus Christ. And I can say the same about myself. I didn't understand what was going on back then, but I look back now and I understand it a little bit better. And he'll do the same for you. He will strengthen you in times of trouble. You will not fear death. Someone wrote an article today that everybody ought to be like Jimmy Carter and not fear death at his age. He's almost 100. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what you need, dear friend. That's what you want. Even if you are contemplating suicide, come to Jesus tonight. Give him a try, if you will. I hate saying give him a try, because I know if you truly come to him, things will change very quickly. So tonight, dear friends, be you a veteran or a civilian, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is death and hell. You must understand that. As David Platt said, you need to hear both sides. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And I have, all of us, from the Pope on down, from T.D. Jakes on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, we all, that's right, I said the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama admitted he committed some sins. Can you imagine? A bald-headed man in a red cape said he committed sins. He doesn't look like it, but he has. And he admitted it. He told the truth. The Pope has too. We all have. We're all guilty. Stop being proud and stop being arrogant. Stop trying to hide your evil. You know you're wrong and evil and got sin in your life. We all do. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. God is holy. We're not. We're unholy, in fact. You know it. I know it. We're all in the same boat. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. You know that to be the case. This is why you punished your children when they were growing up. This is why when they lied to you and you caught them with their hands in the cookie jar, the little hands stuck in the cookie jar, and they looked at with the big, beautiful brown eyes and said, "No, I'm not. I don't have no cookies." The cookies were just crumbling up in their hands. I don't have no cookies. And the cookies are just crumbling down. And you had to chastise them. You had to punish them, or you should have, to teach them not to lie. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. There are graveyards and funeral homes and funeral directors waiting on you and waiting on me. And see, the sad thing about death, it's not like God says, "Okay, you were born December the 3rd, 1959, and you're going to die December the 3rd, 1919 or whatever, 2019. It doesn't work that way. See, the strange thing about death, one of the terrifying things about death, is it can happen at any moment. It doesn't matter what age you are. Okay? All right, so please understand that. Stop thinking you got 90 years. You don't necessarily. A young, seemingly clean-cut boy, 15 years old, was playing basketball at a high school, a middle school, playground. Somebody shot him. To this day, as far as I know, they don't know who shot him, and they killed him, 15 years old. A young lady, a pre-med graduate, was sitting in her house playing a video game with her nephew in her 20s, just as beautiful as she could be. She is dead tonight and in the grave, and has been in the grave for a couple of weeks now. And guess what? Her loving father couldn't take it, and he died 2 days ago. He would probably be alive tonight if his daughter had not died. Couldn't take it. The heart couldn't take it. People are dying at all ages, my dear friend. Why? Because of sin. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to a place called hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body. By the way, Jesus Christ preached, yes, the meek and lowly one, the loving one, who never hurt anybody, never committed a sin, never did anything wrong, never told a lie, as some false prophet YouTube person said he did the other day. Blasphemy. You know why he never told a lie? Because he cannot lie. He's God, Emmanuel, in the flesh. God cannot lie. It's impossible. Never hurt anybody or anything. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to save us from hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body. Don't fear them, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. And if you don't do business with Jesus, if you don't get Jesus as your attorney to get you off, and he's never lost a case, and he's free, he does it pro bono. He paid for it himself. He paid your fee. If you don't do business with him and trust him as your Savior, you will go to this awful place called hell, as sure as I'm black and my last name is White. You say, well, preacher, who's going? Well, in the book of Revelation, in the Holy Bible, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because they're concerned about what people might think about them and what people will say about them on the job and down in the hood and down in mom and them house. And unbelieving, the people who don't believe in God, the atheists and the agnostics, so-called, who don't believe in God, but they pray to God every time they get into trouble. And the abominable, the mean and hateful people, people who commit sins that are beyond the pale, abominable acts. These are they who rape children, molest children. They lurk around candy stores and run down little children and rape them and kill them, and some cut them up and put them in a bag and dump them in the dumpster. These are they who commit the sin and the abomination of incest. Fathers and mothers raping their own children. Brothers raping their own sisters. Sisters raping their own brothers. You say, oh, this is so uncomfortable. Yes, that's why they're going to hell, where it is uncomfortable. It's not comfortable in hell. Where else can they go? Where else can people like that go? You don't have a conscience. You are a psychopath, a sociopath, where you don't understand that you should not do stuff like that. These are they who try to have sex with animals. The abominable people, the abominable people. These are they, men who are trying to have sex with men. Women who are trying to have sex with women. Abomination. It's an abomination. God calls it an abomination. Well, you say, I don't call it an abomination. Well, it doesn't matter what you call it. God called it an abomination. Yes, it is a sin, but it's also an abomination. I think that's a little bit above. See, these are people who commit sins beyond the pale that make even other sinners uncomfortable, that make hardened murderers, which I'm going to get to next, in jail, beat the hell out of people like that when they get there. If they raped a girl or raped a boy, oh, no, man, no, no, you're not going to make it here. You're not going to make it here. The prisoners will get you. And I know nobody wants to talk about it. And the gods will let them do it. They end up dead. Oh, preacher, that's wrong. That's wrong for the universe. And it was wrong for him to rape that little girl and dismember her body. No. 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 Beyond the pale sin, abominations. I know you don't like it, but as my dad, who's in heaven now, used to say, Bishop Daniel White Jr., it's tight, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. Murderers, people who kill other people, murder other people. Now, soldiers, veterans, if you were ordered to kill the enemy, that's not what we're talking about. There's a difference between murder and killing. You did your job. Don't worry about it. Just believe on Christ and trust in Christ as Savior. Whoremongers. That's the heterosexual crowd. That's my crowd. The heterosexual crowd. Men and women who commit adultery. Men and women who have sex with anybody. Having sex with anybody they're not married to. These are the whoremongers and the whores. I used to be in that group. I'm not proud of it now, but I was proud of it back then. Don't you get mad at me. Ah, preacher, you should have never. How could you be a whoremonger? And, well, I was, and you were too. So be quiet. Don't make me have to pull your stuff out of the closet. Now, we're not going to preach on other people's sin and not preach on our own. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. Always looking at the horoscope. That's exactly what it is, a H-O-R-R-O-R, horoscope. You're not going to see anything in there but the devil. Astrology and all that foolishness. There's a false prophet on YouTube always talking about he's a Gemini or a Capricorn or whatever, all kinds of foolishness. Calling himself a Christian, believing in all that. It's sorcery. They're going to hell, every last one of them. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, you're going to hell. You're going to the lake of fire. And all liars shall have their part. I'm reading the word of God to you. And all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what Jesus wants me to tell you tonight. And one of the reasons why he wants me to tell you that is because nobody is saying that anymore today. That's why David Platt said what he said. Nobody's telling folk that they're going to hell if they don't believe the gospel, if they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I agree with that part. Now hell in and the lake of fire is bad news. But here's the good news. You need to hear the bad news before you can even understand the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, and he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time, "whosoever believeth in him," in Jesus, "should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell, man. Perish in the lake of fire forever. Because God is holy. And he can't have this riffraff in heaven. And so he did everything he could to get you saved from this awful place from called hell so that you can go to heaven. Jesus Christ paid the price for you, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Dear friend, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Be you a veteran or a civilian. He died for your sins. He was buried and he rose on the third day. And all you have to do is believe on him. I'm sorry, David Platt. That's all people need to do to be saved from hell. I know that there are some people trying to make it difficult for people to get saved. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shalt be saved. You say, "Preacher, oh, that's just too easy." Well, why would God make it hard for such ignorant and wicked people as we are? Why would he make it hard? That's the last thing in the universe he would want to do, because we would mess it up. And some folk are trying to mess it up now. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. It is as simple as that. That's how I got saved. And if you are saved, that's how you got saved. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. That's very simple. There's nothing hard about that. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, means anybody at any time. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Brother Platt. They do need to pray the sinner's prayer. And it can be whatever it needs to be. But they need to believe in their heart, and they need to confess with their mouths, and they need to pray, call on the Lord, so that they can be saved. And God's word promises they will be saved. And so are you ready tonight, dear friend, to trust in Christ, to believe on Christ, to receive Christ, to accept Christ, and pray and ask him to save your soul? If you are, I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. This is the beginning of it all. There are many other things that Jesus Christ wants you to do after you get saved. This is just the beginning. So trust in Christ with all of your heart. Pray and ask him to save you and to come into your heart. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Veterans and civilians, red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've lusted and coveted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disrespected my parents. I've shown hatred towards others. I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now, the best way that I know how, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart. I believe with all of my heart that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins past and help me to turn from all of my evil ways and my evil life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you have believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety or one of our .com or one of our other emails, wherever you might be on the many platforms that are out there, watching live and on demand, and let me know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, to my fellow veterans, fellow soldiers, active duty, retired, what have you, Semper Fi, and never leave an airman behind, and hooyah, whatever in the world that means, I have no clue, but whatever it is, it must be good. Mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord.